Intuition, by definition, is a thought before your brain overcomplicates it. I believe intuition is the roadmap to your personal happiness and success. Allow this awesome conversation to inspire you to just be more of you. I'm your host, Jimmy Ward Mize, and welcome to Inspired by Jimmy L. Okay, as promised, this is part two of episode 16, and if you cannot believe it, things are going to get even more heated. You are not going to want to miss this episode. Get ready to take notes, baby. I'll see you on the other side.
You know what, Dave? I will say this to you, which is the craziest thing. What actually got me my position, my current position now, and even going up the ladder, was me being a rebel. Mm-hmm. Me being a rebel within their world is what I'm going to say. I later found out that it's not something I want to be a part of. But me being in their world and being honest and brutal with my thoughts and my opinions, the first thing it did was gain trust.
Now, when you said opinion, did you have action behind that opinion?
What do you mean by action?
Because there's three levels. So first it starts off with an opinion. Mm-hmm. And then your opinion becomes a belief when you have lots of references to it. For example, if I said, Jimmy, you're amazing, that's a reference. So now you said to believe. You said to believe you're amazing. So it goes from opinion to belief. And then conviction is a strong belief followed with action. So would you say you had a belief, opinion, or a conviction?
Initially, I'm going to say it was just a belief.
Okay, so you had some references that made you believe that belief was really strong.
Correct.
So what drove you to becoming a conviction where you actually did something about it?
I'm a very loyal person.
Got it.
And that even means being loyal to myself, my morals.
More so than anyone else.
If I say I'm going to do it by any damn means necessary, it's about to be done.
So what you did is you went from an opinion to a conviction. And once you go to a conviction, that's when, how can I say this? That's when it gets done.
And that's exactly what happened.
And that's why I coach Hughes, opinions mean nothing. They mean nothing. Because they can be
without
swayed.
The action. Yeah, this is true.
They can be misinformed. For example, racism. Yeah. Many people have the opinion.
That several opinions, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But only those who have convictions do something about it. Martin Luther King. He didn't have an opinion. He didn't have a belief. He had a conviction. He put so much action behind his belief that it made a conviction, and he was able to affect change to his life and to other people's life. For example, you said you went up the corporate ladder, and you realized that the further you got up, the more you probably had to sacrifice, the more you had to give away of yourself. Until you said, no, I'm done doing this.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. And
which is where I am now.
So let's say this again. You don't have an opinion. You have a conviction that you deserve more.
Well, initially, it definitely started out as an
awesome.
Opinion. That's what I'm saying. In the beginning, it definitely started out as an opinion. But I use that, and again, me being me and my personality and wanting to do what's right, quote unquote, it really gave me that trust factor. It made me build relationships, which is, again, how I was able to kind of get to where I am now. But I'm like, I have a seat at the table, and it's the craziest thing. I don't get it. We have so many people that are around that are frightened by the truth, that are frightened, quote unquote, by the rebel. That's okay with laying it all out there on the table, laying the facts out there where it then moves beyond just an opinion. Like, this is a fact. This is what has just happened. This is like, literally, this is what just came out of your mouth. This is what's being done. And it's crazy that the people, which is bringing back to the schooling system, but it's crazy to me that the people that are set to lead these organizations, the people that are set to actually lead these children, are not doing so. They're not doing so. I'm struggling right now in my own mind whether I want to be upset and angry with them for accepting a position that they were never qualified to do, or should I begin to accept the fact that they probably just never got the chance that they ever should have that would have made them qualify for this position, and maybe they just need some additional help and attention. Like, that's kind of where I am now in my own personal mind with the leaders that I'm dealing with and with the leaders that I see, with the different teachers that I see, you know, whether I want to quote unquote show grace and mercy, or should I just really blame them and try to help them get the hell up out of this position to something else? You know, like, cause you know that it's there. Like, you know, like it's there. Everyone was not designed to teach. Everyone was not designed to coach. Everyone was not, in my opinion only, everyone was not designed to be a leader. Not everyone, in my opinion, was designed to be a leader. I don't think everyone should be an entrepreneur. You know, I feel like, again, I feel like if we could just find our own personal place, like, oh my gosh, we would be so much better off.
Would you think that the people that are currently in the leader position, that they are there just to have the title?
Yes. Title, paycheck, status, you perks.
Know, so this is, I love this conversation because it's so
the but list goes on.
It's kind of like I'm unintentionally coaching you as we speak. I love it.
I know, right? like I had my mentor, my spiritual mentor comes on every Monday. Like, in my coaching sessions are recorded and posted.
Nice.
And so, so I'm used to this. So bring it on.
You're so excited you knocked off your headphones.
I know, right?
No, it's a tough position to be in, and this is why, because when someone, like, let's say you meet someone for the first time, what's the first question they say after saying hello to you? What do you do? And the reason why that question, I avoid that question. When people ask that question, I completely change the conversation to a different question, because as soon as you say what you do, they either respect you or they disrespect you.
Okay.
That's because in our study, we rely on labels for, we label
everything.
Mm-hmm. And so when people say, "Hey, Jimmy, how are you today?" And you say, "I'm doing fantastic." Well, you know, not many people use power words like that. Usually it's "I'm good" or "I'm all right." But as soon as you use that power, like "I'm fantastic," and people are like, "Whoa," they're caught off guard with your positivity. And then they say, "Oh, what is it that you do?" And you tell them, as soon as you finish telling them what they're doing, they're basing that as a level of respect. Like, okay, this person works at McDonald's. So he's probably not someone who is hardworking.
Not educated.
Mm-hmm. Not educated.
Yeah.
Correction, 7-Eleven actually expects you to have a high school diploma nowadays, people. So, you know, you can't say, hey, this person works at 7-Eleven, he's not educated. So there can, you know, as you're talking to them about what you do, they're in their mind saying, this person, I don't want to respect this person, or I'll give them a chance. And it starts with that. It's that labeling. So when you say the people above you have that title, it's like, just because they have that title, they feel I'm powerful, I'm this, I'm that. But here's the thing, but with respect. Are you saying that they power trip often? Do they believe
them? You definitely have a mixture of people. Now, I'm not saying that, okay?
Yeah.
I'm definitely not saying that. But the people that I have run across recently that are actually running companies,
like
it's CEOs. Not necessarily CEOs, directors, presidents. Vice presidents. It's like senior, like, have a hard time making decisions.
Oh no!
I know, right? Isn't it crazy?
That's the most important job.
That's what you do. Like, because the fate of the company is quite literally in your hands.
Yep.
And if you drag your feet on making a decision, that's a problem. If you make emotional decisions based off of how you feel today and then want to change it tomorrow, that affects the company. And if you're a public traded company, that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm like, but what I've been seeing is that you have a lot of people that are afraid to make decisions, afraid to make the right and or wrong decisions, and are borderline afraid of the people that report to them. What type of society do you think is going to grow up behind a leader like that? Rhetorical question, but you know.
Yeah. pretty soon there will be no business, because honestly, if your leader is procrastinating or hesitating, it makes you question your position within the business, where you're like, why am I here?
Why?
Like, if the person who's leading me isn't moving forward, and I'm more, like, if you have more passion and more drive than your leader, there's definitely a problem.
You know, that quote is actually on a wall in one of the offices.
Ironic.
Like, I kid you not. And it's freaking ironic. I mean, it's actually not one of our conference rooms. Like, ironic, but it is. And it actually says that your associates should never have more passion than you do.
Isn't politically correctness fun?
Oh, it's freaking awesome.
Where people put these quotes on their walls just to look as if they know what they're doing.
You're for example,
you know, for example, the school system. We are against bullying. Mm-hmm. Okay, when my friend ended his life in 2004 due to being bullied, mm-hmm. that was 14 years ago. Now the statistics are drastically inclining. Mm-hmm. Schools are not doing their jobs. They're not doing what they're posting. Your job that you're currently at is not doing what's posted, and they're just doing it to save face. They're doing it to be like, hey, we do this. We are. And then when something happens, what happens? Nothing.
Nothing.
So that's what
you're stuck about in. It's about the money. And so always. On one hand, it's always, and it was crazy. And on one hand, I understand it. You have a business to run. You want to be profitable. Completely understand. But even in the schooling system, if you make a decision, it should be based off of long-term gains. If you're consistently looking at the short term, it does not speak highly of you as a leader and whatever organization that you're running, because even the school system is still a business. It is a business at the end of the day. The country that we're in, well, you're in Canada, I'm in the US, but the country, it is still a business. I know,
to be honest, Canada's in business with USA, so I get it.
You said it's not in business with US today?
We are. Like, we're so close to the fact that we're in business with each other, but I totally understand what you're saying. And basically, when people start showing drastic short-term focus, to me, it suggests they're stressed and they're trying to deal with a short-term issue that's happening as we speak. So maybe unknowingly, your business is not pulling in the financials that they prospected they would be getting. Oh, so they're trying to do drastic decisions right now. Now, here's the thing with decisions and ideas that people don't understand the difference of. An idea is useless. Mm-hmm. Useless. Mm-hmm. A decision is commitment to execute the idea. So maybe your business is doing a lot of ideas, but they're not making any decisions. No, and the decisions that they are making are based off terrible ideas.
we'll have to take that offline, because I could write a book, trust me. Because one thing, and I pride myself on it, and like, I love building relationships, I love talking to different people, but doing that, it has given me an insight to so many different facets of the building and the corporation and the company as a whole.
Would you say that the environment's toxic right now?
Oh, it's toxic for me. Absolutely. Oh, I am 100%. Definitely. I've learned to work my plan, and I plan to leave as soon as I possibly can.
You're building an escape.
I have to.
You're already successful. As soon as you start building that decision to escape, you've already made the right step.
And it's not a choice. It's not, because it is absolutely toxic, completely toxic. And I'm a crisis manager, like it's not my title, but it's what I'm good at. It's being a crisis manager. Like I can control crisis at the drop of a hat. Like, that's just what I do. I can, you know.
Verbal judo.
And the craziest thing is I love it. Like, I love being able to do that. But typically I'm able to do that by getting two people that don't want to talk to each other together. Like, to sit down and make a decision. Like, I can, like, this is just this is what I can do. Okay. And I love it. And I've actually spoke with the last guest, and I've been a jack of all trades for years, but it was because of that, is what I've recently found. It was honestly, it was because of that and that particular gift, quote unquote, that I'm able to do almost anything and use that to excel in anything, you know, just by building relationships and making people talk, which eventually drives results. But being here at that particular organization, it's toxic for me.
You know what the problem is? You have a solution-focused mindset. And your business is currently in a problem focus. Like, think about it this way. If you have someone that constantly brings you a problem, a solution, what happens? You bugger off. You just clear that person, because it's toxic, right? That toxicity just poisons you. So when you have a solution-focused mindset individual among people who are problem-focused mindset, that solution-focused mindset individual either does one of two things. A, becomes a new leader and basically just changes the entire environment, or B, they leave. And that's why they say a bad manager can destroy a good team.
A good team, yeah.
It sounds like you're more solution focused than your leaders, and that's a huge problem.
Oh my gosh, I never really looked at it that way. And I've never heard it articulated like that.
Remember what I told you, my job is to find the why and then implement the how.
Yeah.
This is how I do it. I just let you talk. I let you answer questions, and unknowingly, you just find the answer yourself. That's what coaching's all about. Damn. I tie your shoes, you run.
Wow.
So you are solution-focused mindset individual stuck in a problem-focused mindset environment. So another thing you could do is succumb to it and become a problem-focused mindset. Or sorry, a problem like focused mindset individual, which you most likely will not, because you have a T-shirt that says "Inspired by Jimmy." So that shows me that. So you completely understand it. When you go to work, because you know, as soon as someone says go to work, you're just like, "Oh, I don't want to go to work." Isn't it funny how Monday mornings between 8 to 9 a.m. has the most recorded heart attacks with individuals?
I've read that. Yeah,
it's so true. People are so stressed with their jobs because they're going to jobs that they, you know, life is about one thing, creation. So when you're in an environment where you can't create or be creative, or have a voice to express how creative you are or the ideas you have, you shut down. Yeah. And it totally sounds like that's where you're at.
And right that's, now, where you're like, that's, you know, quite literally where I am. I completely agree with you. Let me finish that thought first. But honestly, I've used that to, again, get to where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, I quite literally have a seat at the table. Like, we're revitalizing departments, we are upgrading systems, and again, I literally have a seat at the table. And so I'm like, I'm here, and we have influence. Oh, I'm sorry, I have influence. But the decisions that are needing to be made and the conversations that are needing to be had are not being had. And so it's kind of like I've made changes to get to this particular point. But now that I'm here at a bigger scale, quote unquote, it's just like, okay, so this is what we should do. This is what we need to do. We understand this is the problem. So why can't we do this to fix it? And it's not being done. And which is probably why it's driving me crazy as hell.
Yeah, you want solutions, and they just want to keep bringing problems. And you're just like, I keep bringing you solutions.
I cannot believe he's like, my mind is blown right now.
Because it's all making sense now. Like I said, every decision is made on pain or pleasure via a solution-focused mindset or a problem-focused mindset, either by entering your happiness or exiting your happiness mindset. And right now, you're exiting your happiness mindset because you're not feeling fulfilled. So even though you have a fancy job title, which is not to disrespect you, I'm not saying it's not a big deal.
But dude, I lost that a long time ago. I don't even
care. You have a crisis management title. It sounds legit.
No. That's not my title. That's
what you do.
Not my title. I'm just saying that I recently have been able to explain it in that manner. Like, that's just what I've been good at.
Got it. Okay.
And so No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, you got to go.
I know.
Because let's say they give you a raise to $175,000 per year.
It wouldn't be worth it.
No, because you've already tapped out. You're just like, this environment is, and you don't want to succumb to it. So I always tell people that don't go home from your job and complain about it and then go watch The Voice and then go to bed. Like, go home and build your escape plan. Otherwise, in 10 years, you'll be right where you are, having a heart attack on a Monday morning between 8 and 9 a.m.
While you're joking, but not, I quite literally, New Year's Eve. I got diagnosed with AFib, which is, you know, just heart palpitations where your heart rhythm was completely off. And but New Year's Eve literally happened to me, and New Year's Day, I spent the entire day in the ER. So when I say, like, is there, like, this is it. So I've talked to my husband, we've developed a plan, and like, I just,
it's not worth it.
It is not worth it. I have two strands of gray hair and I'm not even 40. Like, I just, this is no, but like, having these conversations with random people
that you invite to your show,
that I invite, I know, right? Like, it's just, that's what makes me come alive. This is what I freaking love. I love the relationship aspect. I love conversations that I can do all day long.
So you, like,
all day long.
The problem, okay, this is the problem. You're a social butterfly that's locked in a cage at your employment.
That could be, but I am so, like, back to the problem solving. I used to joke, and I was joking, but it was a serious thing. At my desk, I would literally have a line of people waiting to ask me a question. And so, and I would joke with them. I was like, you would think that this is the damn food stamp office where you're coming in to get your check from the government. Like, it was supervisors, managers, you know, team leads, and so, like, everyone was just lined up and waiting patiently for me to fix their problem. And, like, it really became overwhelming. But anyway, earlier part of last year, I actively started to teach people how to solve problems on their own. I started to give them different resources so that they can go and do their own thing. So the line has definitely died down. I've started to literally put it in their ear, and I don't care where it goes, but I've started to put it in their ear. I'm not going to always be here, so this is what you need to do. Several of them, because I built an amazing team underneath me, but several of my people, after me saying all of my things, several of them are like, okay, well, I'm gone. Slowly started to die off, slowly started to just leave and venture out and do their own thing and just other places, other plants, like, they just what they did. I quite literally went from, in that particular office, I went from, I think I had 10 initially in that office, and now I'm down to 3. And so initially it was, well, when you go, I'm going. And then I was like, I'm not going to another place like this, so so if you were to follow me, it'll be with my own company, whatever that may be. And so again, they started to find work on their own, and like, my team is gone. And so now I'm like, I'm not rebuilding, I'm not rebranding, I'm here working my plan, doing my job, and I'm planning my work to get out of here, and it has to work.
So am I part of history?
You are, actually.
Awesome, I love it.
You really
are. I'm the 16th chapter of history.
You really are. You are. And I appreciate it. Damn it, I appreciate it. Like, oh my gosh, this conversation is going to be like 1 hour and 55 minutes. I know you said you were long-winded, but damn, Dave.
I'm long-winded. I can go for hours if you want. Especially if it's such an organic flow. Like, I just love it.
Which is why I didn't want to interrupt it, because I freaking love it as well. And while you were talking, I was thinking, what I'm going to have to probably do with this particular conversation is do a two-parter, which would be the first. Fine. So you're making history even more. So,
I'm here to add value and make history.
and you are obviously adding value, not just to my audience, but even to me. Because again, I never really looked at myself like that. I've never classified it like that.
Like, this I is never not did. A label.
And it is. It is another label.
It's a positive label.
But
it gives you clarity to why you've been feeling the way you have been feeling.
And that's, yeah. And it does.
And once you have that clarity, it gets real, and then you just make adaptions and you just overcome it all. Like, you know, the first quote I started sharing was, as long as you are alive, you can adapt and affect change. So this is your moment to adapt and affect change. And It seems like you are 16 episodes into your escape room. So keep going. Like we said, keep going through it.
I am. Well, with that being said, oh my gosh, Dave, are there any final words? Anything that you would, I just want to leave us with on a good note, on a positive note. Is there anything you want to leave us
I'm
with?
I'm up and down. It's all, yeah, I just want to say, you know, every morning you wake up is a day closer to when you won't. So value your time, value who you are, respect who you are, and just understand that your internal power words mean so much more than the external, because right now we live in a very noisy society. You got to shut them up and just focus on you, like what you're doing right now. Just build that escape plan. Enter your happiness mindset as often as you can and associate pleasure to what you need to overcome the pain.
I like that.
That's such an emotional intensity.
I like it. It is. I know. Like it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And read. Read some books, please. Because
you would not be a youth coach if you wouldn't say to read.
No, only 3% of the people who exit high school read books.
Really? Read.
Yes, the knowledge is right there in front of you. Take an hour a day, read a book, take a half hour and exercise. Make sure your health is your number one priority, because time and money is nothing without good health. So, like, just, you know, start with mental health. Just be who you are, be proud, and be heard. Like, become the first of you. No more duplicates.
I like that. Now that, I'm a tweet. I'm going to have to tweet that out.
That should be the title of this episode. Be the first of you, not a duplicate.
Be the first of you, not a duplicate. That, like, I'm about to tweet that in like in a few seconds.
Make it a shirt. Make it a shirt.
Oh my God. I know, right? Kenzie, if you're listening, please make, I'm going to need a shirt. I'm going to need a new shirt, honey. I like that. I will be tweeting that in just a moment. Well, that is a great place for us to end.
So,
Mr. Dave, I guess until the next time.
Yeah, I will come back if ever you need a guest, 100%.
And I honestly, I really do believe that I can trust and believe that on you. And I really feel like we're going to have to make history again.
Well, you know why? Because the best present is presence, and I will give you my time.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I cannot thank you enough for coming on. I know it's late.
Oh, it's early for me.
How is it early?
It's 10:04 p.m. I'm just getting started now.
You have got to be. If you don't go to bed.
You got me all revved up now.
I need you to go to bed. It's time for me. It's time for you to go to bed. Well, Mr. Dave, I guess until the next time, we'll see you around.
You will, 100%.
All right, thank you. See you guys, everyone else, Inspire My Dream Meal. See you guys next week.
OMG. Okay, you totally just received some excellent knowledge, and I know that you loved it. If you did truthfully love it, I need your help. By all means, share this podcast with everyone that you know. Don't hold all of this knowledge to yourself. We need your ratings, we need your reviews, we need your comments, and we need your shares. But only share it, only comment, if you received some damn good knowledge today. I know that you did, so I'll wait on your reviews to start coming in. Okay, until the next one. See ya.